The Damnation of Pythos, Thinning the Veil, by David Annandale. Read by Jonathan Keeble. Prologue. The flesh of mercy, the blood of hope, the splintered bones of joy. It would have this feast. It would have the taste in its mouth. Its jaws would chew through gristle. Its claws would feel the sensual, despairing rip of opening wounds. It would revel in all these dark glories. And soon. It knew this. It had faith. And what did it mean for a being such as itself to have faith? What did it mean for a timeless entity to be in the service of patrons? There was so much opportunity to ponder these questions in the flow of melting time and churning space that was the realm of the gods. So much opportunity to explore their shapes, to tangle in their contradictions, to savor in their perversities. Too much opportunity. Because there was always the impatience, the need, the hunger. They were never answered, never satisfied. How could they be? They were the very matter of this maelstrom, the sinew of the monster's existence. But though the passions were all-consuming, they left room for the questions and speculations, because these were the fuel for the beast's needs. They were the whetstones for the blade of its intent. But what did it mean that it had faith? How could the concept have meaning? Here, where meaning itself was tortured to death, and where the murderous existence of the gods was not a question of belief. The answer was simple in expression, a complex and exquisite agony in its full manifestation. To have faith was to trust in the promise of the revel, to believe that the time of feeding was drawing near. The feast would begin on this planet. The barriers to the universe of matter and flesh were thin here, and growing ragged. The entity pushed against them, eagerness and frustration twinning and entwining, becoming a growl. And this growl coiled through the warp to sink into the minds of those keen enough to hear it, bringing them nightmares, bringing them madness. The barriers held, but only just. The thing's consciousness seeped out. It moved over the face of the waters, where unthinkable leviathans hunted, and it saw that this world was good. It reached the land where nature was given over to a carnival of predation, and this too, it saw, was good. It saw a world that knew nothing but fangs, a world where life itself existed only to build death's great kingdom. It experienced something very like joy. It laughed, and this laugh skittered across the galaxy, through the dreams of the sensitive, and those who began screaming would never stop. Its mind ranged over the serpent world. It travelled jungles of endless night. It soared over mountain ranges as barren of hope as the light from dead stars. It learned the threats that lived here. It learned the promises that killed here. It saw that there was no difference between the two. It bore witness to a planet that was, in its monstrosity, the worthy image of the warp itself. The thing amused itself for a day and a night with the concept of home. Then it grew restless. To look was not enough. To have the material world, the canvas for the artist of pain so close, yet still out of the reach of claws, was maddening. Where was the promised feast? The planet writhed in the grip of its own horror. It was existence as carnivore, as predator. But the entity was not a guest at the table. It could do nothing but watch. What was more, the planet was a wasted paradise. Where was the sentient life? Without intelligence, there could be no true innocence, no true victims. Without victims, there was no true horror. The world was a massive, unrealized potential. Though the entity had faith, and though it was a loyal servant, it was also impatient. It made to withdraw its mind from the planet. But it could not. It struggled briefly, but the powers it served told it no. They held it in place, and understanding dawned. It had been drawn here by something more than a promise. It brushed once more against the frayed veil. It read the currents of the warp, and again it laughed, and again it snarled. It found the necessary patience. The planet was but a stage. No actors strutted upon it yet, but they would not be long in coming. The beast would wait behind the curtain, and its moment would come. It whispered its praise. All around it came answering whispers. Its fellows, here to do its bidding, here to worship, here to join in the revel. The moment was coming for all of them. The moment when they would at last be free to spread their slavering truth over the breadth of a shrieking galaxy. They pressed forward, straining to taste the flesh of the real. The whispers built upon one another, desire feeding desire until the immaterium echoed with raging hunger. The beast called for silence. It sensed something momentous was transpiring. It looked away from the planet. It was like staring up from the depths of a well, for this world had become a prison. The gravitational force of destiny holding the beast here so that it might fulfill a role. It strained the limits of its perceptions of the material world. At the very edge of its knowledge and awareness, there was a movement, like a fly touching the outermost strands of a web. The promise had been kept. The stars were right. Someone was coming.